How do you do? People often say it's better to be lucky than smart. But sometimes what seems like luck is really the result of dishonesty and manipulation. The man you're about to meet learned that early in life. Today, though, he no longer chases what the world calls luck, whether it's good fortune, happenstance, or self-engineered. That shift in perspective came when his heart and mind and very life were unshackled.
Clara! Kids! I'm home!
Dad!
It is, so I gathered. What's with the theatrics? Are you drunk or just acting like a fool?
No, to pull off what I did tonight, I had to be stone cold sober. But now, now, I think we got reason to celebrate.
Come on, Dad, what happened?
We're in the money. We're in the money.
You're in something, all right. Crazy, most likely.
Frank?
Yeah, Dad?
Reach into my coat. Right hand pocket, gone.
What for?
Just do it.
Whoa! Look at all this cash.
Good heavens. How much is that?
Hard to say. Four, maybe 5,000.
What?
Frank, hand it to your mother.
Here you go, Mom.
Now, check your left hand pocket.
There's more? Oh, wow, more!
What'd you do, Dad? Rob a bank?
Rob a bank? Richard, I'm shocked. That's illegal.
All I know is you don't make that kind of money selling horseradish door to door. Hand it over, Frank.
Here.
Is that all of it, Mr. Big Shot? Are you hiding more?
Let's see. Left pants pocket? Just a few dollars.
I'll take those.
Right pants pocket? Bit more.
Hand it over.
Hey, don't I get to keep anything?
If I know you, we still haven't seen the half of it. And probably never will.
Clara, you wound me. Such distrust.
Are you going to explain where this came from? Or do I have to fix you a drink first?
For the drink. I'll talk. Make it a double. Well, it all started when I heard through the grapevine that...
Just get to it, would you?
All right. So, I heard about a high-stakes dice game down the road. Decided to try my luck.
You call that luck?
Luck. Been a little skill. Either way, the results speak for themselves.
Wow, Dad. I wish I could win money like that.
From Chicago and produced by Pacific Garden Mission, this is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories of real people. Founded in 1877, Pacific Garden Mission makes a big impact on the lives of the homeless in Chicago through food, clothing, lodging, and counsel. Some of our counselors know firsthand what it means to be homeless, so they are in a unique position to meet the holistic needs of our guests. The goal here is not just relief, but regeneration, which is what this program celebrates. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is episode number 3900 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The boy, who so greatly admired his dad's gambling winnings, became the man whose story we have to tell. You'll hear it as he tells it. The classic true story of Frank Landry, right now on Unshackled.
Gambling became a very big thing in our family, as did liquor. Over time, all of us drank to excess. When I was 13, my older brother took the time to teach me how to spot guys who mishandle cards. I was a willing student.
You've got big hands for your age, Frank. That's good. The size won't save you if you sit down at the wrong table.
I'll work hard at it, Rich. I promise.
You better, because out there someone will try to take you for a fool. And they'll smile while they do it, especially when they see a kid like you.
How would they cheat?
That's what I'm going to show you. Not so you do it, not unless you have to. But if you can't spot the play, you are the mark. Got it?
Got it.
You know about dealing off the bottom. Let's see if you're sharp enough to catch it in the wild. Eyes on my hands.
There! You just did it! Right there!
Good eye! You caught the edge! That's more than most. Your turn. Let's see if your fingers can lie as well as your eyes can see.
Okay.
Whoa! That bike is cool! Whose is it?
What do you mean, whose? It's mine, Rich.
all mine.
A machine like that costs a bundle.
So? I paid a bundle. It's my money. I can spend it like I want. You can take it first, Ben, I guess. You kind of help pay for it.
Me?
You show me how to play the game, Rich. How to read the cards, control the table. You gave me the edge.
You saying you won that kind of money?
Sat down with a bunch of old guys, gray-haired, cocky. One geezer pushing 70. They figured a kid like me wouldn't know anything about cards. They're still wondering what hit him.
So, my baby brother's a card shark.
You know something? I hate those guys. Thinking they could bleed a kid dry just because I'm young. They got what they deserve.
In high school, sports were my world, keeping me out of trouble. When my friends were drinking and partying, I showed up with my own drink, milk. They laughed, but I didn't care. So far as I know, I lettered in more sports than anyone in school history, earning over 50 scholarship offers across 5 sports. I chose Georgia Tech on a basketball and golf scholarship, but the entrance exams hit me hard.
Landry, your exam results aren't just poor, they're catastrophic. One of the 3 worst we've seen this year, a complete disaster.
So, that's it? I'm out? No chance at all?
Not a snowball's chance. I'm sorry, Frank, but the rules are ironclad. That's the brutal truth. I'll give you this, Landry. You're relentless. 3 weeks of hounding me, and it's finally cracked the door. Just a sliver.
A sliver? What's that mean? Am I in?
Hold your horses. I've got clearance to let you take remedial courses. They are your shot to prove you're not a lost cause. Pass them, and we'll talk.
I will pass. Bet my life on it.
I hope you've got the grit to back that up. But hear me clear. These courses, they won't count toward graduation. Not a single credit.
Fueled by grit and pride, I own my freshman year. Golf team, cross-country champ, basketball's top scorer. Grades? Adequate. Sophomore year, parties pulled me off track. Junior year, I swore to dominate basketball. Made all tournament at the Holiday Invitational. But then, the coach started yanking me mid-game, even when I was lighting up the scoreboard. At Tennessee, I hit my peak. 18 points. But shortly thereafter, what does the coach do?
Landry, come here.
Yeah, coach. I know. You want me to run Loyola, except take it into the top left seam.
No, Landry, I want you to take a seat on the bench.
On the bench?
You won't be playing anymore.
But, coach, I just scored 15 points.
I've got my reasons.
Yeah, but what are...
Zip it. That's the way it's gonna be.
I broke the coach's strict rules by going out after that Saturday game, and guilt gnawed at me all weekend. When I was called to the athletic office on Monday, I was certain he'd uncovered my secret.
Landry, there's something I have to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Do you know why you've been called in here?
Yes, sir, I do.
Then you'll understand why you'll sit on the bench the rest of the season.
That killed my drive to stay fit for sports. I chain smoked through packs of cigarettes daily, popped uppers to grind through my studies, and drowned frat parties in a mix of uppers, downers, and booze to chase a high. Senior year, I was benched, then cut from the team. No reason given. 25 years later, at an alumni basketball game, a chat with my old coach finally revealed why.
The way I get it, Frank, the FBI was keeping a file on you.
What? Why?
2 of your father's gambling buddies, known lowlifes, called your dorm. One even had the nerve to ring me up, trying to get to you.
I never got those calls, coach. I swear, I wasn't working with any gamblers.
I believe you, Frank. But you gotta see where I was coming from. This was during the big NCAA scandal. Players were taking bribes, dirty money, to throw games, especially in the closing minutes. That's why I couldn't risk putting you in during the second half.
If I'd known all that, I would have come straight to you. I could have explained it, but I thought I was in hot water for breaking training. My guilty conscience kept me quiet. After college graduation, I went home and married Carol, my high school sweetheart, in Vincennes, Indiana. There, I descended into a life of heavy drinking, smoking, and gambling. In 1965, tragedy struck. Carol's mother and my dad died in the same month.
At least I've got this to go on. Mom was a Christian. She's gone to be with the Lord.
Are you saying my dad's not in heaven?
I don't know, Frank. It's in God's hands.
My dad's life. Divorced, smoking, gambling, drinking. Snuffed him out at 48. At his funeral, I expected the world to halt, to mourn with me. Instead, I overheard his gambling friends by the casket. Their casual chatter a gut punch. Life doesn't stop, not even for death.
Last night, I went all in on basketball. Dropped a fortune on the Celtics. 5-point spread.
What do you suppose our buddy here in the casket had?
We'll never know. Like Harold Smith always said, you collect on every marker, except the final one.
Come on, let's drown this night in whiskey.
Carol, did you hear those men talking bets and debts right over him?
I heard, Frank, and I wish you hadn't. It's like he's already fading into their callous whispers.
Maybe that's all we are in the end. A fleeting memory in someone's mind, gone before the next round is dealt. Shattered inside, I clung to my old ways. Gambling breeds violence like fire breeds smoke. At 25, I had stared down the barrel of a gun. A year later, the tables turned. I lent cash to a fellow gambler who swore.
I'll repay you tomorrow, Frank. I promise.
Tomorrow never came. So days later, word reached me he was skipping town. I hunted him down, a cold pistol heavy in my pocket.
Frank, I don't know who said I was leaving town, but it isn't so. I mean, you'll get your money in a few days. Frank, put down the gun. All right. Here's your money. All of it.
My father's death thrust me into his business. All four of us kids held equal shares, but I clawed my way to majority stockholder, buying out my older brother. I poured every waking hour into that food distribution firm, driving sales skyward. Success felt certain, until reality reminded me how fragile certainty can be.
We'll learn what lay ahead for Frank in just a moment. Now, most people think of Pacific Garden Mission as the place that offers food and shelter for the hungry and homeless. But there's a lot more. I'd like to welcome Pastor Phil Kwiatkowski, president of Pacific Garden Mission, to tell us more about this.
Thanks, Timothy. To help people who want to break out of poverty, we offer career development here at Pacific Garden Mission.
You actually help people get jobs, right?
That and more. We help give our residents everything they need to get a good job and to keep it. First, we work with them to create a solid resume. Then we do practice job interviews so they'll feel confident and ready. Next, we stand alongside them as they begin job hunting. We teach specific life skills, how to create a budget and stick to it, how to use a computer effectively, how to secure housing. All along, we incorporate the Bible into everything we do. We not only study the Bible, we take it to heart, and we do it. It's the best way to grow for all of us.
So how can folks get involved?
If you feel you can offer a job or teach a skill, give us a call at 312-492-9410, and you can always visit us here in Chicago as well at 1458 South Canal Street.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you.
My father's food distribution business was small, but successful. And in a way, I was determined to expand it to honor him. Carol's response to his death and that of her mother was different. Dinner was great, babe. Thanks.
Frank, do you remember that time we went to church back in high school when we were dating? When we walked into that church?
I remember the wedding. That was a big church day, wasn't it?
No, not that time. Years before. Easter Sunday. It was just us together.
Okay, yeah. I guess I remember. Nothing special happened, though. Just another day.
Maybe it should have been special. Frank, I'm going back to that church next Sunday. Well?
Well, what?
What about you?
You don't need my permission, Carol. Go if you want.
I know I don't need it, but I want you there. Like before.
Look, by Sunday I'm wrecked. End of the week hits hard. I just want to sleep in.
You're never too wrecked for Saturday nights when you go out drinking with your buddies. That you manage just fine.
Here it comes, right on cue. Look, Sunday is a day of rest. You go ahead. Go for both of us.
That was the beginning. At first, Carol went on Sunday, missed a couple, and then went again. Soon, though, she was getting a lot of phone calls, especially on Saturdays when I was at home.
I'll get it. It's probably Donna.
Be my guest.
Hello? Donna, I thought it might be you. A special singing group?
Hello, old friend.
Well, if they're as good as you say, I don't want to miss them. Frank? Well, I'll ask him.
And he'll say, no thanks.
I'm sure he'd enjoy it, Donna. Well, thanks for letting me know. Bye now. That was Donna.
Kinda guessed that. Donna who?
Donna Hagemeyer.
And she wants you to be sure to go to church tomorrow and bring me.
That's right. And don't tell me you'll have such a terrible hangover you won't be able to get out of bed.
Sounds like I'm headed for the doghouse.
You're practically inside it.
Okay. I'll go. Hangover and all. Those phone calls kept coming. It seemed there was always something special going on in that church. Then there was a little change in things. Aren't you gonna get it?
Why don't you get it?
Because it's probably Donna.
Maybe not.
Well, somebody's gotta answer it. Hello. Yeah, Bob. I remember meeting you last Sunday. A men's fellowship supper. Tonight? I usually have other plans on a Saturday. All right, I'll go. That was Donna's husband.
Oh, Bob Hagemeyer.
Yeah, but from now on, their name is Nagemeyer. Our church going got to be fairly regular. I insisted on sitting in the back, as close as possible to the door. That way, Carol and I were always among the first to be out and on our way home.
Frank, I noticed that each week when they take the offering, you give a dollar.
That's right.
Why only $1?
Because I give just what it's worth to me. Why?
Well, I noticed last night that you tipped the cocktail waitress $8.
Let's listen to the game.
And you'll be hearing cheering.
I've got an appointment with the eye doctor on Thursday.
Oh, then you'll be seeing Bertha.
Bertha?
Bertha Fravel, the doctor's receptionist. She's that nice old lady who was clinically dead on the operating table and was then revived. When you see her, give her my best.
Good afternoon.
I'm Frank Landry. I have an appointment.
These people are ahead of you, but it won't be long. Have a seat, please.
My wife said to give you her best.
That's so sweet of Carol. If you could just fill out this form, and also we'll start with an eye exam.
Oof, trouble already.
Why is that?
If I'd have known about an eye test, I wouldn't have gotten pie-eyed last night.
You can see the doctor now, Frank.
Thank you.
Before you go in, there's something I want to say.
Oh?
Come closer. This is just for you to hear.
What is it?
Frank, if you would trust Jesus, you would never have to be drunk again. You'd never need another drop to numb your pain.
Bertha had no clue, but I'd been fighting to ditch the bottle for years. Trapped. Failing. A new pastor rolled into town, pegging me as the least likely to be saved. So, my name was scrawled at the top of his list. One night, after a day that crushed me, I came home to some unwelcome news.
That new pastor phoned. He wants to drop by.
Oh, no. When?
This evening. I told him you'd be at home.
I'll be here, but I'm not going to put on a front. I'll drink my beer as usual while he's here. Pastor, you mind if I stick to my ritual?
First things first, Frank. No objection.
First things first?
Sin and salvation.
Sin? This beer is my sin? Well, actually, it's my third.
If only it were that easy, Frank. You could drain every drop of liquor for industry and sin would still fester. It's not the beer.
Drugs, then? Loose living?
Those are just symptoms. Pustules of a deeper rot. Sin is a plague.
Wow. That sounds so sober. Pun intended.
Sin is a very serious thing, Frank. It is coursing through every human soul. It is rebellion. It is denial of God's authority.
So, we're all infected? All sinners?
Exactly. The Bible's clear. All have sinned.
How's that fair? If we're born with this disease, why's God pinning it on us?
Because he provided the perfect sacrifice for our sins in Jesus. God gave himself. The Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Christ died for our sins and rose again. His victory over death becomes our victory over death. When we receive him by faith, because he lives, we also shall live. Our sins are not only forgiven, they're washed away. God strikes them from the record. Here, Frank, read from the book of John in my Bible here.
All right. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Frank, can you make a decision for Jesus?
Pastor, I'm not there yet.
You don't need to get there. God takes you as you are. Then let him change you.
That week, God really dealt with my heart, and he helped me understand that Jesus paid it all. The next Sunday, I went to the front pew and prayed. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now just as I am, broken, messed up, and desperate for something real. I know I've wandered far, chasing things that left me empty, but you've always been waiting for me, haven't you? I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for all the ways I've turned my back on you, for the choices I've made that hurt others and myself. I'm begging for your forgiveness. Wash me clean, Lord. Take this heart of mine, all its scars and stains, make it yours. Come into my life, Jesus. Be my Savior, my guide, my everything. I'm yours now and forever. Amen.
Frank, this is the most wonderful day of my life.
Carol, next Sunday I'm going to stand up in front of all those people and tell them I've received Christ. That was in 1970. By 1973, relentless work surged our company's sales fivefold, soaring past my father's legacy. Then, God allowed a change. Wage freezes, oil embargoes, and my own missteps unleashed chaos. The food distribution firm bled hundreds of thousands over 4 years. By 1977, ruin loomed. Chapter 11 bankruptcy stared me down, my only escape.
So, tomorrow you face the bank and defeat.
That's it. We've prayed and now it's in God's hands. Tomorrow afternoon, I meet the lawyers and my banker.
I'll be praying every second.
Hello? Yes? I'm speaking at a luncheon tomorrow? No, sir, it slipped my mind. What's the topic? I see. Yes, sir, I'll be there.
Can you get out of it?
No, I gave my word, ages ago.
What are you supposed to talk about?
Would you believe how God has blessed my business this year?
Friends, we've already heard two inspiring testimonies about God's help to Christian men in their business life. But now, here's Frank Landry of Landry's Famous Foods to tell how God has been blessing his enterprise. Frank?
Friends, I stand here before you today stripped bare with nothing left but the truth of God's word. Hear me now. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what I did on December 27th, 1970, when I surrendered everything to him. And I'm still clinging to that trust, even now, when the world feels uncertain. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, how I've tried to make sense of it. 4 long years of losses, money slipping through my fingers like sand, and I still don't understand. But in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's the only reason I could drag myself to this platform today and share this promise. He shall direct thy paths. If I could return 10 years from now, I'd tell how God has blessed me. I have no grand words left, no clever answers, but I have this. God holds the answers.
His will is perfect. I may fail, but God? God can do anything but fail. An hour later, I sat down in the office of my banker, a man I had known for many years.
Frank, I've poured everything into your case. I've got a bold plan to dodge bankruptcy.
Can it work?
It's drastic. Gut the failing parts, stick to barbecue. But here's the sting. You, your sister, and brother must put your homes on the line.
That's brutal.
Do it, and we'll back you with a $250,000 loan, 10 years to pay.
We'll make it happen. It was done, and I sat down and wrote $200,000 worth of checks to our unsecured creditors. Then, going on the road almost year-round, I worked to build sales. 10 years later, the debt was paid. God had taught me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Frank Landry has lived a life marked by service and Christian commitment. He continues to serve with Gideon's International, distributing Bibles and sharing the gospel through personal witnessing. Alongside his wife, Carol, Frank founded Mission in Action, Inc., a nonprofit ministry dedicated to spreading gospel tracts through the site gratefulheart.club. At 85, Frank remains active, joyfully sharing his faith and supported by his family. People sometimes wonder if these stories are true. We'd like to introduce the real Frank Landry.
Well, it has been 38 years since that 1987 Pacific Garden Mission Unshackled reenactment of how God saved me. Had salvation not happened, I would surely not be alive today. 10 years ago, at age 75, God led me to go back to work. It was an opportunity for me to reach others with the gospel and see people come to know Christ as I did in December 27, 1970. Having Unshackled do a follow-up story after all these years is truly a blessing. Now I can give thousands of listeners one more chance to settle their separation with God. Don't wait. Today is your day of salvation. Say your prayer. Say it and ask God for forgiveness of your sin. The rejection of Jesus, that's the sin we've got to get forgiveness for. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have him come into your heart and life. Ask him. He will.
Listening friend, no one is beyond the reach of God's love and grace. If you'd like to know more about this, we encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM or visit chataboutjesus.com. Pacific Garden Mission desires to meet the holistic needs of each individual. If you are homeless and need help getting back on your feet, you're welcome to come to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Or give us a call at 312-492-9410. For Unshackled-related items, our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3900, heard in the classic true story of Frank Landry, where Mike Garrity, Angela Morris, Stephen Spencer, Rocky Murphy, Patrick Thompson, and Kurt Nabig. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound effects, Patrick Thompson. Audio engineer, David Pierczynski. Script, Jack O'Dell and Tim Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today or reach out to us on social media. Connecting with you means a great deal to us. You can find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube at Unshackled PGM. So, until next time, unless our Lord returns before then, I'm Timothy Gregory reminding you that the doors to Pacific Garden Mission are open night and day. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.